Wednesday, September the 9th. This was a day of getting clothes, of getting ready for the busy fall. A campaign is rather like an iceberg. There's so much below the surface that doesn't show. And part of the work is getting clothes assembled. Linda and Bess and I flew to New York early this morning and stayed at the Carlisle. Adele Simpson, her daughter, Miss Trez from Neiman Marcus, arrived with a long rack of clothes. I looked and tried and planned and got advice, and Robin Duke gave me some help. And finally, I chose one or two. And then I went down to Robin's suite, and there were others to see from the Bill Blass collection. And later, more from Norma Norell, with Robin as my chief guide and mentor. Sometime during the day, Robin took Linda Bird out on the difficult mission of finding the right thing to wear to a royal wedding, a long dress, elaborate and formal, with long sleeves. Here at the Carlisle, I always feel like I have ventured into the bedchamber of the fairy princess. It is pastel and delicate, rather like a Marie Laurencin painting, and it belongs much more to Mrs. Kennedy than to me. The announcement about the East Garden came out in the paper today. A White House garden Mrs. Kennedy helped to plan while she lived in the Executive Mansion will be completed in mid-October and will be dedicated and named in her honor, Mrs. Lyndon Johnson announced yesterday. Called the East Garden, it complements the famous flower garden on the west side of the mansion. The late President Kennedy took a personal hand in planning the landscaping of the East Garden, as he did for the flower garden. It went on to say that Mrs. Kennedy worked on the plans for the East Garden with her friend Mrs. Paul Mellon. They would follow the traditions of Washington and Jefferson, being useful as well as decorative, since there had been no garden the White House for the First Lady and her children and friends. This would be its main purpose. At the same time, there would be herbs for the kitchen, flowers for cutting, and the center lawn for spacious enough for children's games and croquet. There would be a small arbor at the west end that's going to be covered with grapevines and a shallow garden pool opposite. There'll be hollies and magnolias and crabapples, similar to the topiary at the Governor's Palace in Williamsburg. This is a project I've loved, and one I want to see wrapped up and completed before I leave here, in case it might not get done under some other occupant. Along about 6:30, Charlotte Ford joined us. She's so friendly and natural and easy. I'm glad Linda Bird has been thrown with her. I had just finished a very interesting 30 minutes with Anne Leinsdorf, in which she had more plans for me than I could accomplish if I was a combination of Eleanor Roosevelt and Joe Louis, together with some big brain power. I had asked Robin's suggestion for a place to go to eat. I was the hostess, with Linda, Charlotte, Bess, Robin. And we went to one of those tiny restaurants, about 5 tables and a very on-team feeling, where the bill was astronomical. $81 plus tip. The proprietors asked me to make it complimentary. But how can one accept a gift like that from somebody you don't know? So I didn't. Dick Adler joined us at 8:30. We gave him insistent directions not to let them hold the curtain. And then we rushed for the theater a few minutes late only to see What Makes Sammy Run, in which his wife, Sally Ann Howes, who is entertained for us at the Elms and later at the White House, has a prominent part. I had read the book possibly 20 years ago by Bud Schulberg, who was a young, rising author in the latter days of F. Scott Fitzgerald, and the book practically left a scar on me. Excellent writing of the most bitter, incisive kind. Translated into a musical, which seems an unlikely thing to do, it was an excellent evening's entertainment. With a young man who had never before played on Broadway, named Steve Lawrence, who was so much Sammy that it ought to frighten any of his family for fear the character stuck to him. Sally Ann was beautiful and wholesome. It's rather interesting that two of the best successes on Broadway right now are just parallel in theme. What Makes Sammy Run, and How to Succeed in Business Without Trying. This one is deeper, with an ugly element of tragedy, a lot more satire on our current mores. When it ended, we went backstage and met everybody, including Bud Schulberg. An evening at the theater is my very favorite self-indulgence. So this is Linda Bird's and my special treat before she's back to school and I'm back to work with the campaign. And then to the elegant Carlisle to spend the night.